We said a guest speaker last week. The weeks before, we'd been doing surrender. It was just a title called surrender. I think we did 1 through 4 or something. And each week, a little bit deeper into surrendering, letting go of our pride, letting go of self, getting off the throne, making sure Jesus is on the throne and not us. You know, there's a big part of that. You know, when I speak about kind of the direction that we're headed towards a healthy church and a growing church and a thriving, part of that comes from where God leads, I think, with the messages and things that we do. And part of that surrender series, I know in the beginning, it was, I heard very clearly that word surrender, and just to keep on it. And each week I'd ask God again, you want to do surrender? What, I've got this other, you know, kind of want to go in a different direction. God said, nope, surrender. And so we stayed on it for several weeks. And then last week, something a little different. And we got to find out how some of that surrender can really happen. If there's things that we're holding back in our life and refraining or keeping it in our own life, John Kyle was great at explaining some of those things. We just need to get it out of our life. And we're going to have a little bit more of that this morning, something along that line. God is, I think, taking us in a good direction to be able to stand strong in Christ, to be able to walk by faith, and to stand in faith. And it's something that I'll explain as we go through, but we're going to talk about fighting the good fight of faith. I'll start by prayer this morning. God, we do stand in faith, Father. Your word says, whatsoever you ask in faith, believing, you shall receive. So, Father, this morning we believe, we trust that you are hearing and answering prayer right now. Father, as we lift up our hearts and minds to you, Lord, and say, have your way. Do what you want to do in us this morning, Lord. Speak deeply into hearts that may have been hardened in certain areas to help set them free. Be able to speak into our minds and help clear them of the clutter and the ways of the world so that we can receive all that you want to give us this morning, Lord. I pray that we hear in your word your promises. We hear the things that you have for us as the body of Christ, as your children. And Father, we entreat it into our life that it changes us on the inside, Lord. And then we take it out, Father, and allow it to flow through us in the physical forms and the places we go, the areas that we touch during the week, Lord, that it continues to flow through us as a matter of strong faith, as something that has been built up in us and that we're then releasing as we go through the week, Lord. We do walk in faith. We trust in you and we believe you. And it's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen. So I'm going to start with a scripture this morning. If you remember, there's a man named James. Okay, some call him the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. He made a very strong statement in his letter, in what we have in the Bible is called the book of James. And I want to share what he said. He said this in James 2:17. He said, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. Okay, ponder on that for just a minute. We talk about faith. Faith is all throughout the Bible. That word is in there in the New Testament. Faith is something that we're instructed to have faith in God. I just quoted the scripture, if you have faith in, you know, Jesus said, have faith in God whatsoever you ask, believing, you shall receive. So we want to have faith. We know that's an integral part of our life. But what does faith look like? You know, if faith is something, according to that verse, if faith is something that we say we have faith, but yet it has not works, it doesn't have something that goes through it, that it is, as James put it, dead, being alone. Faith, if it does not have works, or you could say deeds and actions of obedience to God. If faith does not have works or deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself, it is destitute of power. It is inoperative, okay? Or as James put it, it is dead. It is not moving. It is not accomplishing. It is not doing. It is not a living, breathing anything. It is dead, being alone. To say that you have faith when your life is characterized by inaction, okay, or worse yet, when your deeds and actions are laced with disobedience to God instead of obedience, and you're just fooling yourself. Faith alone is dead, but faith with action, faith with works, faith with actions of obedience to back it up, is alive. If you say that you have faith, yet you never step out in faith to serve or step out in faith to love, step out in faith to maybe make yourself a little bit vulnerable at times. Rather than walking by faith, you might be more likely walking by fear. To walk in true faith is going to have an element of risk involved. You ever think about that? To walk in faith is going to have a little bit of risk involved on your part. It's not risky to God. It's not really a risk. If your faith is in God, you can trust God, right? It's a guarantee. But true faith is going to have some element of risk involved in it. To trust God entirely means that if God doesn't come through, you're going to fall flat on your face. There is no plan B. There is no backup plan. It's trusting God, that God is God. God is going to come through. It's getting to that point where maybe when we pray that we're not praying something that could be accomplished any other way. We're praying for something in faith that only God can do. Remember when the disciples questioned Jesus about the tree he spoke to and it withered up and died, and they see it and they're like, Lord, how can this be? And his first response was, have faith in God. We've got to have faith that takes us beyond just sitting still to the point that we're actually willing to trust God. You know, faith is expressed when you're completely sold out to a God that you've never seen with your natural eyes. Not too many people have a face-to-face with God. Faith is believing that you're righteous in God's eyes, even when you know that your own behaviors haven't been perfect. Anybody ever thought that? How can I be in God's eyes? Yesterday or today, whatever. Even that you're made in Christ Jesus. His blood was shed to make us in right standing with God. Faith means that you go out not knowing exactly where you're going. Remember Abraham? He went into a land he knew not. Didn't know exactly what it was going to be or how it was going to all come to pass. You know, faith is taking a step, putting things in motion, believing that this is going to happen. When Margie and I were with John and Linda, I'll talk about them because they were just here last week, but when we were with them, planting churches, you know, John would come in and call Margie and I, we'd go over and sit down and having a meal together, and he said, you know, we need to tell you that God's been speaking to us about planting a church in Nebraska. You know, we had just bought a house at one point. Well, actually, we bought a house in Nebraska, but from there, he was looking at going somewhere else, and he said, God said, you know, it's time to move. We're going to go plant another ministry, plant another church. Margie and I would pray about it. I'd pray and fast. As soon as I'd hear that it was a God thing, I'd put the house up for sale, go and talk to my employer. No job lined up, no place to live, nothing. Just knew that I was supposed to go. And we just start putting things in motion. And every single time, God fulfilled his desire. Hey, if we were supposed to be there, which I knew we were, I had gotten that word before we left each time, and each time, God just set things up. Put me in the right place at the right time, connecting me with this and that. Sometimes it would be multiple jobs, having to turn this one down to take this one. And, you know, then it's that faith, you know, which one, God, which one? Okay. But it always happened because we were putting things in motion. Our faith had action to it. It meant, I trust you, God, I heard that we're supposed to go. I believed in the timing that it was right, and off we go. Sometimes we'd show up in a community and live for one time, it was about a month and a half before I even got work. Okay, but God provided. He did exactly what needed to happen for us to have the finances to pay our bills, and we had a place lined up. I think I paid it for, you know, 6 months in advance or whatever from a sale of a house, and so we were able to live there and not have that worry of the rent and that kind of stuff to get started. But it was something that we put in motion, believing that God would take care of us and provide. You know, faith means that you prepare for something maybe that you've already prayed for, but you haven't seen it come to pass yet. You know, like the farmer's daughter who, you know, brought her umbrella to the prayer meeting where they were going to pray for rain, right? She was anticipating that, hey, we're going to pray for rain. Oh, I'm going to grab the umbrella. That's a child's faith right there. That's wonderful. Saying, I'm going to prepare. If we're going to pray, God's going to hear. He's going to answer. You know, faith is something that is in motion when you act on nothing more than an impression in your spirit. You didn't hear an audible voice. You didn't hear this beckoning billow say, do this or don't do that. But you move forward anyway, trusting that God has the ability to speak to you along the way. That's what we knew. If I got a word from God to go to Pocatello, Idaho, whew, let's go. That's all I needed to know. God said, go. That's enough for me. That means He's going to provide for me when I get there. Everything's going to be set up. At one point, and Pocatello in particular comes to mind because God got us there and we both ended up working for the same company, making twice as much money as we'd ever made in our life. It was fantastic. I won't get into all of that. I can tell you stories about Pocatello. It was a fun time because God had blessed us in a way like we had never seen before. And of course, we kept the church thriving in they weren't going to have a worry in what was going on. They needed a new roof put on or they needed this or that. Man, it was just easy for us to say, hey, whew, in abundance. That's why we're here. And so we were able to sow that in. You know, I've been pressing God a little bit here lately. Sometimes different things kind of weigh on my heart, and so I start pressing God about certain things. And lately I've been pressing Him about the apathy in the Christian church today. Not just this one, but I mean around the world, I see an apathy. And I'm wanting, and I think probably even needing as a pastor to know why the children of God are struggling so much right now. What is it that is bogging people down? Why are we going through it so much right now? And I've been pressing Him to get some answers on that. Well, having some understanding, I have a little bit at least, of the authority and the power that has been delegated to the children of God. Knowing a little bit enough of that to know, I find myself deeply concerned about the lack of faith of God. It's concerning to me. How are we going to make it through to the end if we're not walking by faith? You know, I know the devil is going to unleash his wrath in the last days. There's a revelation as he unleashes it because he knows his time is short. Right? So when it gets closer and closer to the culmination of Christ returning, He's going to be pouring out more and more of this wrath and this evil. You know, we tend to think and we look around saying, boy, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. But as a disciple of Christ, shouldn't we be able to rise above that? That the evil doesn't affect us, that we should be able to trust God to protect us, that we can trust God to empower us to do what we need to do, even though it may seem like it's getting darker. You know, I began to ask myself, has the devil convinced the body of Christ that it is destined for defeat? Is that our end? I mean, is that what it's all about? We get to live this Christian life all the way to the end into defeat. We all get demolished by the devil. You know, are we as the chosen of God fighting a losing battle in which we're ultimately going to be overcome with evil? Is that what we have to look forward to? The answer, according to God's word and according to God Himself, is a resounding no! Somebody say amen. God will not be defeated. And His children will not be defeated. You know, I believe the Bible gives pretty good definition. We could go through the book of Revelation and all the churches and how things are looking at that time. But there are some that make it to the end. And I've said over and over again, I want to be one of those guys. I want to be one that makes it to the end. I want to lead people to the end. God showed me in my life, I've had several. I just had another one this last week on one of the purposes for my purpose on the planet Earth is to lead other people down this road. okay, to lead them into the kingdom. Okay, and in the job, that in the dream, that's what my job was leading people into the kingdom. Okay, I've told you the story, the vision I had when I was a young Christian and living in Laramie, Wyoming, and I sat straight up on my bed. I was woken up, and I sat there, and the presence of God was so thick in the room I could hardly even contain myself, and I began to see exactly what it was that God had called me to do. It had to do with the volcano. Okay, and this massive volcano was erupting, and all these flames were falling, and people were perishing all around me. And I strived to get to the top of that, and it was like a mountain that we had to get to the top of. And I began climbing to the top of that mountain, and I weaved my way around through all this fire and all this, you know, just demolished stuff happening all the way to the top. And I got to the top of that mountain. And God said, now go back and get some others. And so I went back down the mountain and began grabbing people by the hand to lead them back up the mountain. I wrote that in my journal, my dream book that I write dreams down in. I wrote it, that's probably almost 20, Marge and I have been married, so 23 years ago. But it was so clear and so vivid that it stands out to this day as, Gary, never forget what you're here to do. You found the way through all the fiery stuff to the top of the mountain where Jesus is, then go back and get some others and bring them along the way. I want to make it to the end. You know, Margie mentioned the scripture already this morning, but at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Okay? Every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus. You know, what the Lord has been speaking lately is that we only seem to have a few believers in the body of Christ that understand and walk in. Okay? It's one thing to kind of know about. It's another to understand and walk in the power and authority that's been delegated and freely given to the disciples of Jesus Christ. To walk in that. See, the bowing to the name of Jesus Christ isn't some future event that's supposed to happen in the by and by. It's now, when every knee will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. God wants you and I as his dear children to walk today in the victory that Jesus accomplished and provided for us. He wants us to live in that today. Why do we have to wait till heaven to have the good life? You know, the same devil that was defeated at the very beginning, the same devil that from the beginning of mankind in the Garden of Eden, when God said that he would be under our feet, is still under our feet. We have Jesus in us. But here's what's happening. People are getting beat up. I like this. They're getting beat up and beat down. You ever watch the old Westerns? Anybody? I don't know what it was about the old Westerns, but if they got in a bar fight and they're fighting over something and whatever, and the guy would knock the guy down, they would always grab him by the shirt and pick him back up so they could knock him down again. It's just a thing I noticed about those old Westerns. But I think about getting beat up and beat down. It's like he picks them up to beat them down again. That's what the devil is doing to Christians. Oh, I knocked you down. Here, let me help you back up again just so he can knock you down again. Okay, and that's what he's doing. He's trying to beat people up and discourage them to the point that they begin questioning even their own faith. Ultimately questioning, you know, why is this happening? Why is God, you know, that's who I am, my faith, why is God allowing this to happen in my life? The Bible tells us that God has already given us everything that we need to walk in victory in this life today. Okay, Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus said that to you and I. The Apostle Peter, after he had led thousands and thousands of people to Christ, he reminded them of this. This is in 2 Peter chapter 1, the first few verses of that chapter. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4 says this. He said, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Think on that just for a second. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Simply through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So in other words, the more that we get to know Jesus, the more we get to know God, the more peace and understanding we get here. The more grace and peace is going to be multiplied in our life. But watch what happens in the next verse, in verse 3. He says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Again, through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these, by the promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God's divine nature, what does that look like? It sounds very clearly to me that we've been given the ability to walk in God's divine nature through the power of God himself. Through just understanding him and what has been given to us, we have this in our own life. God's divine power has been given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has given us, according to this passage, precious promises, so that by believing these promises, by receiving these promises and walking according to these promises, we can partake of the divine nature of God. That sounds like a victorious place to me. How many think Jesus walked in the divine nature of God? Yeah. He went through some stuff, though, too, right? I mean, he was captured and tortured and hung on a cross, right? Only when he allowed them to do that. Don't forget that. When it wasn't his time yet and they came to arrest him, what did he do? Walked right through the crowd? Did he drown in the boat that the disciples were screaming as, oh man, we're going to perish? He was sleeping. He wasn't even afraid of it. He walked in the divine nature of God. Jesus walked in a tremendous amount of power and authority while he was on the earth in physical form. Remember at one point the people marveled with what authority this man spoke. Even the winds and the waves obey him. Okay, at one point, and Jesus was healing and doing other stuff, and they marveled at the authority by which he spake. They even questioned him at one point, saying, where dost thou get this authority? Where do you get this? How can you do that? Because it was recognizable that he walked in an authority while on the earth. The winds and the waves, the demons obeyed him. And get this. Here's the life changer. He gave that authority to you. He gave it to me. So that we can walk in the divine way. So that we can walk in the best that God has for us. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 17. It says, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Remember the powerful name of Jesus? You speak that, you speak it over your city, over your family. There's power in the powerful name of Jesus. Lord, even the devils, the demons are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Just the original 12, though, right? Even this passage itself said there were 70. We know that he continued, the more disciples, he continued pouring that power into them. We saw guys like Stephen when he was stoned to death. It said that he was stoned because he was walking in the miracles of God. Okay? It just continues on to us today. This power has been given unto us over all the power of the enemy. John 14, 12 through 14 says this, Jesus again speaking. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, okay, if you believe on Jesus, just lift your hand to him and say, I believe, Jesus. I believe on you. Jesus says, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he also do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What did he do when he went unto the Father? He said, I'm going unto the Father. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, which he did. He said, the works that I do, you shall do also. And greater works than these shall you do, he do. Because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus came to give the Father glory. God saved you to give the Father glory. He wants you to walk in that same kind of an anointing. Listen to the promise in what he just said. He that believes on Jesus shall do the works of Jesus and even greater works than what he did. Do you think that Jesus walked the earth in defeat? Or did he always know that his God was greater than anything that the devil could throw at him? The Spirit's leading him to go into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted of the devil. You think Jesus was scared? Do you think Jesus went out there going, oh, I hope I can handle this test? Or do you think he went into that wilderness knowing, I'm anointed by God, the Spirit of God is with me? He just rose up out of the water and said the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove, right? And then he gets led by the Spirit, led by the same Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He had no fear. The devil had no power over him. He knew his God. He knew the Spirit he had been endowed with. He was walking in it. You know, when the Apostle Paul tells his story, if you read the book of Acts, he tells it several times throughout that book. But when he has recounted how he met Jesus, how Jesus met him on this road to Damascus and opened his eyes so that he could see God and see the truth about Jesus, he says that Jesus told him, he said, I send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. In other words, if your focus is on the power of Satan and not on the power of God, you can live in defeat. You can be discouraged. You can be beat down by the enemy. But get your focus off of the devil and his power and get your power onto Jesus. Get your power unto God. You know, at some point you have to quit believing that the power of Satan is greater than the power of God. Don't even see the power of Satan as equal to the power of God. It's not even on the same page. The power of God is God, the Creator. The devil couldn't create himself. God is God. You know, open your eyes. Turn them from the power of Satan unto the power of God. So realizing that God has empowered you to live an abundant life. He has empowered you to live a blessed and fruitful and victorious life. He has empowered you to make it through any challenge that comes into your path. Man-made or devil-made. Okay? Sometimes we put ourselves into situations. But sometimes it is a spiritual attack and the devil's after you. I just started a new devotion a few days ago on spiritual warfare, and it's talking about the way to tell the difference on what you're going through. Is this something I brought myself into, or is this something the devil's attacking me? And one of the ways you know is if you're going through a period where God is revealing himself and you're growing in your relationship, the devil hates that, be prepared a little bit. Okay? He might throw something at you. If you believe that God is in you today, Okay, who's the temple of the Holy Spirit? Anybody? Temple of God? I am. Bible says we are, as a Christian believer. You need to start allowing His power to flow through you, according as His divine power works in your life. You'll be able to accomplish things. You know, when the Apostle Paul questioned God about, remember the thorn in his flesh? Now, here's Paul. He's a man of God. He's walking it out. But man, he had a thorn in the flesh. The Bible tells us he cried out to God how many times? 3 different times. He's crying out to God, deliver me from this. And you remember God's answer? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. Okay, he said that because his grace was more than just a ticket to heaven. That's great. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. We got our ticket. But his grace is more than just a ticket to heaven. His grace came as a package deal, right? And when we received that free gift, we got so much more than just that ticket. This package deal included power that is more than sufficient to put us to put us in a right standing with God, but also to put the enemy in his place. That's what I think God was saying to Paul, was my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, I've already given you what you need, just do it. And you know what Paul did? He did it. Okay, over and over again, we see how Paul walked in that after that moment, where he began to walk in that authority because he began to realize more and more that God gave me this to walk in it. So as things go on, later on, Paul goes on and he writes for us, he tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay? That's after he knew that he had this thorn in the flesh and God told him, my grace is sufficient. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's what Paul learned. He said, quit begging God. In other words, quit begging God to take care of this. Please help me, please help me, please help me. He said, resist the devil. Speak to the devil in your life and tell it to get out of your life so that you can walk in that instead of walking bogged down with what the devil's trying to do. You know, when the woman that had a spirit of divination, she was mocking Paul and some of the other disciples and following them around. It says it went on for several days. And when Paul finally determined he had enough, here's what happened. It's at Acts 16:18. Bible says, and this she did for many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. You see what I mean? Paul learned not to put up with that stuff. Not to just allow it to bog me down. And I'm just going to, this is just the way my life is. I'm just destined to be depressed. I'm destined to be anxious. You're not. God has authorized you to walk in the divine power, in the divine nature of God. You know, there was a point where Jesus went to heal a young girl and he first had to put some people out of the room. Remember that? He asked people to leave. He came in and said, she's going to be all right. And he laughed at him. So he put everybody out of the room except for those that had faith. He put out the doubt. Okay, some of you need to take authority over some of the demonic forces that are trying to hold you back and put out the doubt. Put out the worry. Put out the anxiety. Put out the addiction. Put out the fear or the lust or the distrust or whatever it is. Put it out. You know, someone in an online group that I'm part of was asking the other day for advice for a couple that was, he was trying to counsel them. He was asking for advice and counseling a young couple. And he said, where one of them is always accusing the other one of cheating. And I promptly typed in, start by first casting out the spirit of jealousy. Because that's what was attacking them. Somebody had a spirit and they were allowing it to be there. You know, don't tolerate the problem. Get rid of the problem. And we're not talking about people, right? We're talking about spiritual forces of darkness. Remember, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. God will give you the gift of discerning of spirits. The Bible says he'll give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks for it. So you get that gift of discerning of spirits, and once you do that, you can begin to see in the spiritual realm better, and you begin to see what is behind it. You begin to see what is it is happening, and then you can fight it with the powerful name of Jesus and say, I speak Jesus, just like we sang this morning. I speak Jesus over this situation. In the name of Jesus, you cannot do this anymore. Okay, speak to that spirit. Put it in its place. Get out. If you need to tell it to get out, tell it to get out. There is nothing that can stand up to Jesus. Nothing stands up to his name. We, for the most part, we're going to wrestle with kind of little minions of demons and principalities and powers and some of those kind of things. But even if we came face to face with Satan himself like Jesus did, Satan cannot stand up to the powerful name of Jesus. He couldn't lead Jesus into temptation. He couldn't get him into sin. He tempted him, but he couldn't get him into sin. Jesus has defeated him. The devil wants you to believe that that is not the case, but it doesn't change the facts at all. You know, the Apostle Paul reminded the Christians in Ephesus that we don't fight with flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces and forces of darkness. He told them to put on the armor of God that God had given to them, and that they could, so they could fight the good fight of faith, and when it was all said and done, they could still be standing. Right? It's Ephesians 6:10, the first part of that. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Okay, telling us to be strong in the power of his might. Be strong in the power of his might. Verse 13 there says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to still be standing. Okay? You're not destined for defeat. You're not destined to be overcome and annihilated and ground into the dirt by the devil. Yours is not a life of defeat. You do not have to succumb to the enemy's lies. He is not greater than your God. Grasp what has been given to you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and apply it to your life. In other words, put action to your faith. At the end of Paul's life, he made this confident statement. 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Why did he word it like that? Because the devil is coming at people trying to get you to lose your faith, to give it up, to turn away from it, to not trust in God anymore, to not believe God can do it, to not believe God is big enough, that to start twisting that around, to think you get focused on the power of Satan instead of the power of God, and you start thinking, yeah, Satan's bad, Satan's real big, Satan's massive, Satan is overwhelming. But it's not meant to be that way. You're going to find the devil trying to bring you to a place of hopelessness and despair. But the Bible tells us that our hope is found in Jesus. Our hope is in the strength of the Holy Spirit. You're going to find hope and strength in your life when you realize that God has given you a power through the Holy Spirit to live in victory. Last verse as I close this morning is Romans 15:13. Simply says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost that was given to us. Amen. God has given us the Holy Spirit to walk in, to live in, to have as our every day, every moment. So we don't have to tolerate some of that stuff in our life. Things happen. Things come in our life. I'm not negating that. But we have an authority to walk over the devil and to put him in his place, so that what is going on, maybe it was something I put myself in, maybe not. Maybe somebody else did something dumb and it affected me, whatever. That happens. But I guarantee you, whatever was happening in that other person's life was probably demonically inspired and led. Or speaking over your life and speaking in the name of Jesus. Start speaking the powerful name of Jesus. Walk and live and abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, we praise you this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your precious gift that you gave to us. Thank you for the grace. God, your word says that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Father, today we apply that truth to our life, that you are greater than all. There is none like you. There is no one that even compares. There is no spiritual force, no demonic entity, no demon that even remotely comes close to you in authority or power. And Father, I praise you that you have given that authority. You gave that unto your children. Father, that the people even here in this room or tuning in online or listening later on, that Father, we can grab on to this truth that you have empowered us to live in victory, to live as a king and a priest in this land, to live above that which the enemy tries to bring into our life. That the devil may come and may throw a temptation in front of us, but we do not have to take it because of you and your power. I thank you that you have given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You have given us precious promises that we can grab onto and walk into the future with. Lord, that we can walk in victory, walk in the blessed life because of you and who you are and what you've done. Praise you for your holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, precious Spirit of God. Live and breathe through us this week. May we walk out different, Lord. May your Spirit be working in our hearts and minds, moving and leading and guiding. May we sense your prompting. May we act in faith. May we walk in obedience and walk in your ways, Father, because of your empowerment in our life to do just that. Father, we trust you for these things. We praise you and thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen.